I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. It is game on in the Granite State. Every 4 years, the TV trucks pull in, guys in suits and earpieces show up in your local breakfast joint, and the opinions of New Hampshire citizens are momentarily considered to be of national importance. It's the first in the nation primary time. Today, primary day through the word-of-mouth prism, with analysis from crack political watchers, insight into candidate branding, and primary day handicapping from an astrologer. Yep, you heard it here first. But we begin with the state of retail politics. In previous primaries, candidates with small war chests and a modicum of personal appeal could gain traction in the state by meeting and winning over the active electorate. Political momentum today is increasingly influenced by televised debates, coverage on TV shows, and the slings and arrows of real-time information online. Rick Santorum's come-from-behind showing in Iowa was attributed to his shoe leather campaigning throughout the state. It worked for him, but offside candidates like Buddy Romer haven't moved the dial here in New Hampshire. NHPR political reporter Josh Rogers has been on the ground for 4 presidential primaries in New Hampshire. Josh, there's been a lot of talk about the dearth of retail politics during this primary season. First of all, what do people mean by that, and is it true?
Well, I think what people mean about it is this sort of ideal where they're envisioning that a candidate visits someone's living room, they have their neighbors over, they have a frank discussion of issues, and slowly a candidate may win people over by personal contact, certainly kissing babies and that sort of thing. And there has been less of that.
Well, let's look at the difference in strategies this year. Newt Gingrich, for example, his staff quit en masse this summer. They thought he wasn't spending enough time on the ground and there was no way he would win New Hampshire.
To the former House Speaker's credit, he said at the time that there was a difference of opinion and that his staff then wanted a traditional on-the-ground campaign where he believed that he could do it by organizing online and largely through debates. And the debate schedule this year has been influential in how candidates act. Let's nationalize the race, and which isn't to say that some candidates haven't done it the traditional way. I mean, John Huntsman, by necessity, he originally planned to base his campaign out of Florida and also compete in South Carolina. Fundraising drove him to think his best chance was to be in New Hampshire. And his whole campaign is this sort of suck-up to the retail traditions of New Hampshire. You know, people trust New Hampshire, he says. I mean, certainly the major candidates have all taken a whack at what might, in some cases, is simulated retail campaigning. I mean, they're checking things off a box. Like, you're expected to go to a diner. You might be expected to go to a country store, you know, toss an axe into a stump. That sort of thing is occurring. Whether or not it's occurring beyond the level of a photo op is another thing. And, you know, from the campaign's perspective, the world has changed. Everybody standing there has a cell phone that can record everything they say, and within minutes, it could be on the internet and go viral. And so they're a little bit more leery of a freewheeling campaign approach, particularly the candidates who have something to lose.
In your campaign coverage, you followed anti-establishment candidates and filed a story for NPR on Buddy Romer. Now, he's the former Louisiana governor who has refused donations above $100.
Whether he could build something like what Ralph Nader did in 2000, you know, remains to be seen. But again, he doesn't come in with the name ID and the legitimacy that Ralph Nader brought.
But Buddy Romer would tell you he shares affinities with a wider swath of voters, and he's surely a lot more fun. If one needs proof, just visit his Twitter account, at Buddy Romer. It's not your average politician's Twitter feed. It features Romer's musings on politics, popular culture, and the rest of the GOP presidential field, or as Romer hashtags it, clown car.
Now, I don't necessarily do the fingertips. I got a couple ladies that help me. But they're capturing my voice. We have a team.
But you're dictating this thing.
Absolutely. I scream and holler at it. When I call Mitt Romney a stuffed corporate shirt, that's me. When I call Newt Gingrich...
If NPR hadn't asked you to cover his campaign, would you have made it a priority?
I might be with Mitt Romney. Candidates such as Governor Romer, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who's also been marginalized, they do deserve some coverage. And clock's ticking.
Josh, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That was NHPR political reporter Josh Rogers. For more of his coverage on the New Hampshire primary, click on over to wordofmouthradio.org. As we mentioned, Josh followed the retail-heavy campaign of GOP outsider Buddy Romer. Joanna Weiss is op-ed columnist for the Boston Globe, who wrote about what Romer's campaign signals for the state of retail politics. We spoke to her before Rick Santorum's win in Iowa.
Buddy Romer says that when he decided to run for president, he decided to follow the really traditional New Hampshire playbook and cross the state. He's got an apartment in Manchester where he's been living. He's been basically camped out, going to small events, any chamber of commerce, anyone who will talk to him, he'll talk back. And he really hasn't been getting any traction.
Romer recently told reporters that if he knew at the start of this race what he knows now, he would have done it differently. What's he talking about there?
He's talking about the debates and the incredible importance that the debates have had on the race, not just in terms of, you know, gathering interest for the candidates, but there's just kind of a cycle, almost a feedback loop. The debates happen, they get good ratings, people are talking about them, the pundits start talking about the candidates, the polls reflect that chatter, and all those ups and downs that we've seen, you know, since the summer in this race have really stemmed from debate performance.
Are the debates the new retail politics?
I don't know. They could be. I mean, they really have been having that effect. The unscripted moments that Josh and you were talking about have been happening in the debate in a lot of cases. And you know, think about someone like Rick Perry, who had a lot of interest when he entered the race, had some kind of lackluster debate performances, then had that oops moment that went instantly viral and spread around the world, and has possibly sealed his fate.
Well, let's look at those unscripted moments in retail politics. You mentioned a couple of them. In this campaign, Mitt Romney's New Hampshire diner moment with a veteran that he didn't realize was gay, I think, when he first sat down, had a bit of a tussle there about gay marriage.
A classic New Hampshire retail politics moment.
Well, right. And afterward, this man is swarmed by the press and essentially has the whole nation's ear when he said Romney doesn't have what it takes. Is this kind of opportunism of new media driving the candidates to limit their retail strategies?
I think it's definitely causing the campaigns to worry. They want as much control over the message and over what their candidates are saying as they possibly can have. That's why the candidates enter these debates loaded up with talking points. I mean, what Rick Perry really did with that oops moment was forget his talking point. And these retail opportunities, these one-on-one exchanges with real voters, they require candidates to go off script because you just don't know what you're going to get. Someone could have an issue from completely out of left field that could certainly become the news of the day.
Romer did win a retail campaign when he ran for governor of Louisiana back in 1987. Did he have a reason to think it would work for him in New Hampshire this time around?
I think, again, he was following the story of candidates like John McCain. You know, he was looking at history and looking at the success that certain candidates have had, not just in, you know, showing up and being there in New Hampshire and Iowa, but building a field operation, having people on the ground, having a real, you know, support system on the ground of people, of voters, of staff.
You wrote that it's worth considering what the field would look like today if the TV networks had wielded their power more creatively. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's undeniable that these debates have had an effect on the race, and the TV networks are the gatekeepers. They get to set the rules about who gets on that stage, and sometimes those rules are pretty arbitrary. I mean, Governor Romer complains that every time he hit one hurdle, he got another hurdle. First they said, you know, one network said you've got to have 1% of the national vote in a poll. He got that, and then the next network said, well, you need to have 2%. Then there were fundraising barriers. So these are all arbitrary standards. If the networks were willing to shift those standards around a little bit and say, "Hey, let's let this other guy in. Let's change the makeup of this debate and see what happens," it would just create a different conversation.
What do we lose if we lose retail politics?
I think we lose a couple of things. We lose the opportunity for candidates who are, you know, let's face it, when you become president, you are completely separate from the general population. You don't have a lot of chance to interact with real people. This is a chance for people to interact with the candidates, for candidates to talk to the people, for candidates to get, I think, a different understanding than perhaps what their advisors are telling them in a little room about what people are worried about, the issues that people care about, the way people are intersecting with the news.
Joanna, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Joanna Weiss, op-ed columnist for the Boston Globe, where she writes about politics, pop culture, and parenting. She's also author of a new political novel called Milkshake. You can find a link to that and to more about the state of retail politics by shaking hands with us over at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow our campaigns on Facebook and on Twitter. Coming up, the New Hampshire primary, past, present, and future. Is it still a make-or-break state for some candidates? That's when Word of Mouth continues after these messages from NHPR.